All right, we are in chapter 4 of Philippians. When we read the letters of Paul, Peter, and John in the New Testament, we began to see that the early Christians and churches, they faced the same temptations, they faced the same failures and problems that we face. But the important thing for those early churches and for our churches today is to properly work through those problems, with the wisdom and the power of God. And so it's God's will for churches to strive toward unity. Because it's vital to the health and the growth of the church. Nothing will destroy the church and its mission quite like internal division. And so the aim in this chapter that we're looking at in chapter 4 is to challenge us and to hopefully enable us to live and to work in harmony. We want to, as we look at Paul's example of how he addressed a dispute that was taking place in the church at Philippi. Our text began with verse number 1 of Philippians 4. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." There is no doubt how Paul felt about these folk. They were his dear friends. They were his brothers and sisters, his joy, his crown, the people he loved and the people he longed for. And I found it interesting and instructive to note that Paul was often careful to communicate in this positive, upbuilding way in his letter when he was about to be corrective. And I think it's important, I think it's important to put things in perspective before we have to say something difficult to hear. We might say, in essence, I need to say something that may be difficult for you to hear. But I want you to keep in mind that I love you and I want only what is best for you. And so Paul's statement is that is how you should stand fast. He says again, you need to stand fast in the Lord. And as we look at this, we find in this verse, as it's an introduction and it's a foundation. So what Paul begins now is to address the proper the problem directly. Now Paul did not sugarcoat anything, and so he began to address the problem. Look at verse 2. He says, "I plead with Eudaia." And I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, in verse number 3, he says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Now, what's amazing about this is that we know nothing more about the situation of what this argument or this disagreement is about. And so from this verse we learn that there were two women at Philippi who were at odds with each other. And we don't know what the disagreement was about, But the disagreement must have been significant, because otherwise Paul would not have made the correction so public. Now, it's sad to me that all we know about these two women is that they were two women who had a disagreement. And I'm sure that there was much more to these women and their lives. So let me ask you a question. And that question is, how would you like to go down in history as the person who couldn't get along with others? It makes a person think. We might ask the questions, how do I want my spiritual life summarized? What do I want to be remembered for? And I think that we all would say, and that we all would agree, that we would want to be remembered for positive things. And I know that we wouldn't want to be remembered for negative things. I hope not. And so sadly, these ladies went down in history more of a negative light than a positive one. So that was what little we know about the problem. But let's look at the solution, because Paul suggests something about the solution. He says now in verse number 2 that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now we notice that Paul's first charge was to the women themselves, to settle the problem in the Lord. Y'all see that? In the Lord. He addresses them equally. He pleads with them equally. Paul didn't take sides, nor did he indicate who was right and who was wrong. Now, notice how strong a word Paul used. He says, I plead, or I beseech. There is an urgency. There is an importance to what he's saying. Now, let me suggest to you this. It is always best for two people who have a problem between them to go to each other directly and try to work it out. But unfortunately, far too often, when two people have a problem with each other, they talk with everyone else about the problem except the person with whom they have the problem. So in Jesus' teachings, he gave us this formula for addressing interpersonal problems. And let's look at his teaching. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, now this is Jesus' teaching on how to handle this problem. In verse number 15 of Matthew chapter 18, he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Now notice what he's saying now. If your brother sins or sister sins against you, go and show him or her the fault just between the two of you. If he listens or she listens, you have won your brother and sister. And so here, what I suggest to you is that if somebody come to you, your first advice to them is to say, have you went to that person? Because Jesus told us to try to work things out face to face, because that is the best way. So here's the question. The question is, why is it that we don't often go directly to the person we are having a problem with? Is it because we are afraid of conflict and confrontation in general? Is it because we are afraid of making matters worse and destroying the relationship completely? Is it because we don't know what to say and how to say it? These are things that God can help us deal with as we mature in Christ. And so employing the fruit of the Spirit will make a big difference as we try to approach someone with whom we are in conflict, meaning that we should approach them lovingly, humbly, and gently. Let me say that again. We need to approach them lovingly, humbly, and gently. Now, we notice also, again, that Paul's charge to the women was to agree in the Lord. Stand fast. Our mutual commitment and obedience to the Lord can bring unity in the midst of diversity and disagreement. So listen, we may not be able to agree with each other about many things, but if we are disciples or a child of God, then we can agree in the Lord about the central things of the Lord. So if we both love the Lord and His church more than we love ourselves, then many of the things that cause disagreements become less important. And so, first of all, Paul charges the women that was in disagreement to stand fast in the Lord. But then the second charge was to others in the congregation to help these two women get along. Look at verse 3. When you go back to Philippians chapter 4, in verse 3, he says, "And I treat thee also, true yoke fellows, a true companion, help those women which labor with me in the gospel." Now, sometimes the situation between two people is so hurtful and emotionally charged that someone mutual, now understand what I said, someone mutual needs to work as a mediator. And so a good question for us to explore at this point is, how can we help others to resolve their differences? That's a good question. Well, let's see about it. Let me suggest, first of all, and I want you to, if you can, write this down, because this can help alleviate a lot of problems that can be handled in the right way. First of all, I suggest that we must not become part of the problem. Let me say that again. That we must not become part of the problem. Well, what do you mean? we might become part of the problem when we listen to and spread rumors, or when we jump to conclusions and take sides in a disagreement. In other words, what happens is, when we do that, we look at the other person different because we only have one side of the equation. And so we have to understand, we must not become part of the problem. If someone wants to talk with us, and this is important, if someone wants to talk with us about a problem that they are having with somebody else, then we should be very careful about getting involved. We have to be very careful about getting involved. So we might want to ask them a few questions before getting involved. Number one, we might ask, why do you want to tell me about these things? Why do you want to tell me about these things? The second question, how many other people have you already talked to about this situation? How many other people have you talked to about this situation? The third question. The third question is, have you actually talked with the person with whom you have the conflict? Have you actually talked with the person with whom you have the conflict? It's important that you ask these questions. Why? Because if we just sit there and listen to it and spread rumors and we jump to conclusions and take side in a disagreement, guess what? It's going to hurt. It'll hurt the other person because, you know, again, we begin to look at the other person differently because we ain't got the whole picture. All right? So rather than listening to the problem, let me give you the step. The first step might be encouraging them to go to that person. And if they don't feel they can go alone for some reason, then we might offer to go with them. But hear me out. We don't need to hear all about it before we go. We don't need to hear all about it before you go, because it's best to hear about the situation while sitting with both parties, because then we can hear both sides of the story. So that this is what Paul is dealing with. And so I like what Proverbs, and let's look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17. And let's see what it says. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The first person to present his case seem right, till another comes forward and question him. So I go back and I suggest to you, first of all, that we must not become part of the problem. Secondly, I suggest that we try to help the two people get a spiritual perspective. We try to help the two people get a spiritual perspective. See, often when two people are in conflict, they have completely lost the right perspective. When in conflict, a person can become so fixed on how right they are or how greatly they have been wronged that they have forgotten the most important thing. When we find ourselves in conflict with a fellow soldier for Christ, listen, sometimes we need someone to renew our spiritual perspective. We may need to be reminded of whom the real enemy is. We may need to be reminded of whom is the real master and Lord. We may need to be reminded of how often we have needed God's mercy and God's forgiveness. We may need to be reminded that real love puts the needs of others ahead of our own. Because you remember, we seen how Paul did earlier in the Philippian letter in chapter 2. Verse 1 through 11, go back and read that. Because in those verses, what you see is that Paul challenged the Philippians to be like-minded and have the same love. Paul challenged them to do nothing out of selfish ambition. Paul challenged them to consider others better than ourselves and look to the interests of others. And then Paul capped it off, challenging them to have the attitude of Jesus, who left heavenly position to come to earth and serve us by giving his life on the cross. And as we seek to be helpful to others, we must be careful to remind ourselves and remind the people we are helping that we are not perfect, and therefore we are not being judgmental. We must not let down our guard, or we may be somehow drawn into sin. Part of our calling as Christians is to be ambassadors of reconciliation. But it's not an easy ministry. Jesus said, if you look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We must always keep in mind that Satan and his demons uses many different tools in their attempt to destroy Christians and congregations, and conflicts is one of those tools in their toolbox. Satan just loves to throw a wrench into our relationships, into our congregations, and see the damage that it can do. So when conflicts arise, we must realize we are under attack from the evil one. And we must resolve that we will not let Satan win by destroying relationships and congregations. So Paul, he had to deal with this problem. And so as he dealt with it, as we go back to Philippians chapter 4, he first says to the women, listen, You got to stand fast in the Lord. And then to the church. And he also says that, listen, you got to be of the same mind in the Lord. Listen, you, both of you are Christians. You are children of God. So you got to handle this in the way God would want it handled. And then he turns to the church. He said, listen, don't you just sit back and let these two women go at it. Listen, you got a part. You entreat them also. Help these women whom have labored side by side with me. You go and help them, encourage them what they need to be doing. And then when we go to verse 4, Paul begins now. He addresses, after he addresses the number of challenges that they were facing, Paul now he shares with them three simple elements of character that would guide them to survival in the midst of their challenges. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So the first characteristic is be joyful. Be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The fact that Paul mentioned the subject of joy is so frequently in this letter. When you look at this 14 times in Philippians chapter 4, suggests that it was a missing characteristic in the Philippian church. So why had they lost their joy? Why had they lost their joy? Perhaps maybe the tension in the church, that the family had reduced their joy. Maybe it was their concern for Paul in his imprisonment was still in their joy. Maybe it was just the everyday struggle of the Christian life that was robbing their joy. But whatever it was that was still in their joy, Paul told them, you need to make it stop. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. And so as we look at this, and I'm going to close out on this, and we'll pick up. Paul commanded them to be joyful. Command? Yes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. How's that for an order? Paul told the Thessalonians the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always, or rejoice always. So how can you command someone to be joyful always? Isn't that impossible? No, because understand what he's saying. He didn't say rejoice in general, but notice what he says, but rejoice in the Lord. And so it's more to this I want to say on that. But as you're reading on, again, I gave you one characteristic was to be joyful. And as you're reading, I want you to, the second one I want you to read on is to be graceful. We're going to look at that in verse number 5, to be graceful. And then the third thing that we're going to look at is be peaceful, verse 6 and 7. So go back and read those things. So I'm going to, again, just thank you for just your attention as we begin to look at Philippians chapter 4. I will be muting everybody for, first of all, an announcement, and then we will be dealing with the prayer requests. All right, we have one announcement that needs to be made, and my wife is going to be making that announcement concerning the ladies.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
If you were not able to join us on Monday, we will have another prayer session tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. There were 15 for our first session on Monday, and we had a good time. We enjoyed it. All ladies are invited to join us as we pray together on Monday and Thursday, 7 o'clock. And please feel free to call in 10 minutes before time if you need.